the Post Purchase Pro Podcast.
This is the only podcast that dives deep into post-purchase marketing to help Amazon sellers increase sales, ranking, reviews, and profits. It's everything that happens after the initial sale that makes a difference. We call this the back end.
Hey, everyone. I'm your host, Dylan Pettijohn, for the Post Purchase Pro Podcast. And I think we're going to have to start changing that intro that we have at the start, because we focus on so much more than just the back end, every aspect of business. And today I have a really exciting call for you. I'm on here with Saif, which is the co-founder of AI Hello. And if you don't know, the platform is a PPC software and service that is working with over 5,000 Amazon sellers and is an Amazon Advanced partner. I'm going to just mess that one up. Saif, it's awesome to have you here today, man.
Thanks for having me on.
Awesome. Awesome. So you were explaining a little bit about your origin story before we had hopped on before we started the podcast. Could you break that down a little bit? Because I was surprised that we're the same age with how much you've accomplished up to this point.
Yeah, no, I've had like an interesting story. So I'm 25 right now. I have never had like a real job in my life. I've always just been doing random stuff, as I explained like before the call. Like when I was like 4 years old, I'd pick up like the shoe shine brush and I'd start like shining everyone in my family's shoes. For like, I grew up in Egypt, so one Egyptian pound per shoe. I started like saving up money and putting it into treasury bills when I was like 9 or 10 years old. Got into stocks when I was like 11 or 12. I forgot like the exact dates just because it's been over a decade.
Yeah.
But got into stocks, started like reselling courses, resold Instagram pages. I build games on Roblox and I sell stuff on there. And I do digital marketing stuff, like consulting stuff. And I eventually got into Amazon Ads. We set up this company and now we're doing pretty well.
That's amazing. That is amazing. And today with us, you're actually sharing something really exciting, especially for somebody like me that's a manager. I mean, it's amazing to learn about how other people hire. And could you break down, like, how do you find the PPC specialists that you have at your company? Like, you know, the whole framework that you have for actually not only finding these people, but also once you find them, how you get them and so on.
Right. So it's easy to get people on a call to interview them, but it's hard to get the right people. So there are generally two issues. Either not enough calls and you maybe only speak to like 10 people, 5 people, 7 people. You don't have like a large enough candidate pool where you're able to be objective about how good someone is. And at that point, you usually just settle for whoever the best person was out of the candidates that you spoke to. And then there's the opposite issue, where you post on a lot of different platforms like, you know, Fiverr, Upwork, the other one, what's it called, FreeUp, the Philippines hiring platform, I can't remember what that was called, LinkedIn job posts, and you run ads on Indeed and all that stuff, and you end up with like thousands of applicants, at least hundreds of applicants, and most of them are complete shit. So you have to go through all of those resumes, then you get on calls with people who can barely speak English, people who, you know, just took one course for Amazon ads like a week ago on YouTube and are now applying to jobs. People that like have unrealistic expectations, you know, it's just like a waste of time. So there are two separate issues, both at like the opposite end of this. And what I want to do, what I aim to do every time I hire, is to be in the middle. I don't want to speak to 5,000 people because, you know, at that point you're diluting yourself and you probably are going to waste a lot of time speaking to random people who aren't that good. And at the same time, I don't want to speak to 2 or 3 people because number one, that doesn't give you like enough data to be like reasonable about who you hire. Because if you only speak to 2 or 3 people, you don't know what a good candidate looks like. And the second thing is it forces you into signing up candidates that you might have not signed up otherwise, because you need like someone this week and you only have 2 people, right, that you're speaking to. So you're forced to hire one of them, although it might not be ideal. The last thing is deals fall through, right? Like there's this quote, it's like birds fly, fish swim, and deals fall through. So you could have someone who's about to like sign, it's about to join you guys, and they could leave last second. Or they could come in with like, hey, like the amount that we agreed to isn't like going to work for me anymore. I need like quadruple it, right? For whatever reason, they can just come in with something ridiculous like that. And at that point, you have to cut them off. So you have to have enough options where you can be objective about who you're gonna hire. And at the same time, you don't want to waste like your whole like 24-hour day speaking to random people from Fiverr. So what I've done is I set up like two different recruitment flows or like ways to generate candidate pipeline. One is inbound, and that's through my LinkedIn profile, not LinkedIn job post, that's my own like organic posts. And then the other is outbound, where I'm actually reaching out to people. So for inbound, I just do like a hype post, like, hey, my name is Safe, I'm building this cool software. And obviously this differs depending on what you're hiring for. So if you're an agency, you have to pitch yourself in a different way. If you're a seller, you pitch yourself in another way, and so on. So for me, I just say, hey, my name is Safe. I have a company that's growing pretty fast, 20% month over month. We're growing so fast, we need to hire more PPC specialists right now because we can't keep up with all the demand. I'm offering this, this, and that. And I want to work with people who are, and this is where I disqualify people. When I work with people who are X, Y, and Z, I usually just say something like smart, hungry, disciplined, and curious, right? And I don't care about your resume. I don't care about your experience. I don't want you to send me like a five-paragraph long text of the last five jobs you had. That's not what I want to know. I just want to know these like two questions. I want to ask them to you, and you get to answer one of them, or you could answer both if you want. And I'll just give two questions that I used to test like how people think. So I could ask, for example, like, what's something you know about Amazon PPC, or you learned about Amazon PPC recently that you found interesting? Right. And based on that, I'll be able to tell like how in depth they've gone. So I get people answering that. They're like sponsored by NVIDIA and so good. Like, you know, it doesn't really mean anything. Like at day one of PPC, you could figure that out. Like I could watch any random podcast episode right now and I could figure that out. Another like better answer for this is someone who goes super in depth. They're like, hey, I learned this strategy that you might have not heard about before. This is what I've done. This is what the actual results I've achieved with someone else are. And this is why I think this works and why I think it's interesting, right? And if they actually do give you something novel and they give you something logical, then that's someone who has gone in depth either with their learning or with their experience or just like observations of how the accounts they've worked on function before. And they're able to actually provide new insights. So that's someone who's smart enough to think on their own and think on their feet and aren't just like echoing what they heard someone else say, either because they have no experience or they're just not smart enough to think through what they're actually like working on. So after that, I'd also ask them what's a contrarian opinion they have about Amazon PPC. And again, I'm just trying to see like, are they advanced enough, smart enough, and like well-read enough to come up with their own opinions on Amazon PPC, right? Again, there are two answers for this, the good answer and the bad answer. The bad answer is something like, you should focus on long tail keywords. That's a contrarian opinion, which of course isn't contrarian because they didn't reach the level yet where they're able to actually get their own opinions and be able to defend them in a way that makes sense. Someone else might come in with a contrarian opinion about like campaign structure. Like I actually think you need 10 ad groups for a campaign. I wouldn't personally agree with that, but if they're able to back it up and explain why that makes sense, I'd accept that as a contrarian opinion. I'd recognize that person as someone who's able to come up with their own thoughts and their own ideas and go against the grain when it matters, because that's someone who's able to think deeply enough about PPC to actually adapt to each specific account and not try to like put the same playbook or use the same playbook on every account, because they have their own original thoughts, which is what I'm looking for. So once they see my post, you're going to get like, depends on the size of your audience. I get around 20 applicants from that. And based on the answers, I'll either tell them like, hey, I don't think it's going to work, and I give them feedback. Or I tell them like, I actually have a follow-up question for you. And at that point, I usually throw in a brain teaser. So I say something like, estimate the number of organic clicks that happened on Amazon US on February 8th, 2024. Right? And then they have to figure that out. I don't care about the actual number because I don't have it. So I can't really like judge people on the actual end number. I just want to see what their thinking is. I still use this question like to this date, so I'm not going to give the actual formula out, but generally want to see like how logical the answer is. So someone's going to say something like, 10 billion clicks a day. You're going to ask them like, how did you get that number? Like, oh, I just guessed it. Right? That's someone who didn't think through it. Then another person can say something like 200 million clicks. Like, okay, how did you reach 200 million? And they're like, Amazon ships out this many orders per day based on this data, that percentage. So this is the conversion rate on these orders, which means we need this many sessions. based on this data, this percentage is paid, this percentage is non-paid. And based on that, for example, I have the answer for like organic clicks, right? And I could poke a few holes in their logic and question it and ask them if the numbers make sense. And if they do make sense, then they're obviously like going to make it to the interview stage, right? So it's post two questions, they answer one of them, contrarian opinion or something that they learned, then paid user. I just asked to estimate organic clicks. You can ask them about anything else, but try to see if they can think outside of the box, because there's no podcast, no like resource, no blog post, nothing that's going to help them answer this question. And this might be the first podcast actually that could help them answer this question. But other than that, there's no resource out there that they could just use and just copy paste their opinion from, right? So that's the first thing. That's the inbound funnel. The outbound funnel is just me reaching out to other people that either work at other agencies or software companies that I find interesting. And I'll just reach out and offer them to like get on a call with me to discuss the new job that I have open. And again, I'm trying to hype them up, because my belief is if someone is good, and this doesn't always apply, because like someone might have been laid off for no reason or the company that they're in might have shut down. But generally, my belief is that the people out there looking at mass applying on LinkedIn and mass applying on Upwork aren't the best people, right? Because if you're a killer, you're probably already working somewhere, right? You probably have a good relationship with your boss because, you know, you're a killer, they like you, and you're probably getting compensated fairly. So someone who's like kicking ass and is doing very well at their job doesn't have that big of an incentive to leave, right? So when you try to reach out to those people, you want to try to get them hyped up. Like, hey, my name is Saif. I'm doing X, Y, and Z. These are the results we're getting right now. This is why I want you on board, and this is what's in it for you, right? What's in it for you doesn't have to be like monetary. It could be like, hey, I have like this super, super strict process for hiring PPC specialists. So you're just going to work with a team of absolute killers. Like, I don't work with dumb people. I don't suffer fools, right? So if you join me, you're going to work with killers. You're going to work in a company that's growing super fast. We have a really good product, and you're just going to be in an environment where you're going to wake up every day and you're going to like what you're doing, right? So there are different ways to sell it. You can sell you as a founder, the company, the job, the team, stuff like that. And you can try to get people hyped up enough to get on a call. And people might be like, no, I'm in a job right now. I'm not interested. Push back, right? Like just say like, hey, it's just a call. You know, there's no commitment. It's just going to be like 10, 15 minutes of your time. And you can just get on the call with them after that and not interview them. Like you can just have a chat, try to break the ice, try to warm up to them. And after that, you can ask them for the interview, right? So just be persistent with it and just don't take a no for an answer. Right? I have this story of a person, and this is post-interview stage. So I interviewed them and it went well. And generally after the interview, I sent like the candidate a case study or a test. And I sent it to them, and they're supposed to submit it in 3 days. And the third day comes, and there's nothing submitted. So it's like, yo, what's up? I really liked you. How come you didn't send the test over? And they're like, hey, I don't think I can do this. I'm already in a job. You know, I like what I do. The guy has been very good to me, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, you know, I really want you on board. Let's get this done. I like, let's get on another call. And I just kept messaging them, and then they said no again. And I think on the third or the fourth time, I got them like to actually send the test over, and I was able to hire them, right? So it's about not taking no for an answer. So I'll just reach out to as many people as possible, possibly like 10, 20, 30 people a day, depending on how many people you can find. I don't like to be too like strict with the criteria for reaching out to someone, because I've hired everyone. So I've hired like people from bigger agencies that are in their 30s and supposedly had a lot of like experience, and those people kind of didn't do well for me, and we had to part ways within a couple months. And at the same time, I've hired like 20, 21 year old killers who did an amazing job for me, and I'm super happy that they're on the team, right? And that's like across all departments. It's not only PPC. Like I tend to hire young, like a lot of people on my graphics team, my content writing team, like all of them are even younger than me. I'm 25. A lot of them are younger than me, right? So I don't look at experience that much. I'm just like trying to look around the profile, see the type of content they engage with, see if there's like any clues. If not, I'll still reach out, because you never know who's on the other end. Like sometimes they could have a very shitty profile with no profile picture and nothing else on there, but you reach out and you speak to them and they're actually amazing, right? or they could be like a college student and they just have like a title that says Amazon PPC manager. And it doesn't look like they have much going on, but again, you reach out and they're much better than other people. So I'm just looking for little clues like that. And I'll just mass reach out to people, to be honest, because a lot of them won't reply. I have like a 50% reply rate, 50% positive reply rate, I should say. That's it. These are my two streams for booking calls with candidates.
That's a, you know, you say most of them won't reply, but you're at least getting 50% of the people to reach back out to you. So that's pretty good.
Yeah, no, it is. It's just about like the setup that you have. So I have like a few followers now. I think I'm touching 5K. I don't want to say that because I might be closer to 4K. It's like 4.5, 5K basically. And I post some content at like my company, like some people know my company. So I reach out and a lot of people are already familiar with me, either because of a YouTube video or like a podcast appearance or like a LinkedIn post or just through my company. So I got higher reply rates right now. But before that, I was a lot lower. So it depends on how big your profile is, who knows you, who doesn't. Because right now I'm reaching out cold to people like, oh, say five, I've heard of you before. Right? Not that I'm that well known. Like, you know, everyone knows there are other people out there who have like 10 times as many followers as I do. But there's like a decent pool of people who know me. Plus, I also reach out into my own network. So since I have around 5,000 people following me, I'll reach out to some of my followers to offer them to get a call with me. So that's almost a 100% reply rate. Plus, one thing I forgot to mention is I'll also reach out to people who engage with others' posts. Right? So I'll reach out, like, I'll go to someone who gets a bunch of engagement on their posts, like Stephen Pope, or like Destiny, or Joe Shadaroot, whoever else it is. I'll reach out to the people who like and comment, right? Because that's like a self-filter for someone who's actually learning, someone who's into PPC, someone who's keeping up with the data, the news, the updates, and everything else. And obviously, that's someone I'd be interested in speaking to. So I'd also reach out to people from those.
Have you noticed that you're getting a lot higher caliber of clients since you switched? Do you even use Indeed or anything like that anymore? Now that
No, never. I hate job posts. I've never, it's been years since I've had a job description written. I just reach out and I pitch it to them. That's how I start all my interviews. I just pitch it to them and that's the job description. And like 99% of the time they're on board and then I just go ahead with my interview. I don't do job posts or job descriptions or anything else because like I just tried to do a job post for like a non-PPC position a few months ago. And I just got like a bunch of random candidates. So I was like posting for a salesperson job in Canada. And it was just like a bunch of engineers from like other countries. Like I had people from the UK apply. I had like engineers from India apply. I had people who like studied like biology stuff and were like in a research lab apply. And I like specified like I needed this many years of experience or like I needed someone from this industry to apply just because sales is a bit different. And, you know, none of them were qualified. So I just spent like some money running ads for that. And I just wasted my time speaking to these people. None of them were qualified. So I'd rather either use my own audience. Plus, once you have an audience, if you have friends on LinkedIn, they could tag like other people that they know or they could comment for reach. So that also like amplifies things. And once you make your own LinkedIn post, you get to choose your own filtering system, right? So I'm like, hey, I don't want to see your resume. I don't care about your CV. I don't care about like your paragraph about your work experience. Answer these two questions for me and you're in, right? So you get to choose your own filtering system, right? So something like LinkedIn job posts, they just throw their resume at you. It's just someone sitting there for like 30 minutes a day, like clicking apply, 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 apply next to every single job that they see. And then you're just like stuck with like random candidates that you can't do anything with. So yeah, the quality has gone up a lot since I've moved to this like way of doing things.
Oh, it makes a lot of sense because you're hand selecting the people that you want to work with. And I don't feel like generally the people that are top performers are going to be looking at those job posting platforms because either they're not going to have to leave they're not going to get fired. They're not going to leave their job because they're doing well. And even if they are going to leave their job, they probably already get another one lined up because other people are asking them to work at their company too. So they don't usually need to look at these platforms.
Exactly. Exactly. A top performer is a top performer, right? If you're on Upwork, I mean, some people are on Upwork and they're good. The general like population on Upwork isn't that good. And like, again, if you're just mass applying to jobs every day, then you're probably not that good. Because if you were a killer, then you're probably either in a job already or someone is out there trying to hire you, right? right? Because if you're a recruiter and you're exceptionally good at what you do, you're most likely not going to be out of a job. And again, like, I don't want to like dunk on anyone who got laid off or had their company like shut down or go out of business or whatever other thing. Like, that has been happening. You know, 2023 has been tough, and the first month of 2024 for certain industries have also been has also been tough. But generally, like, if you're an A player and you're a killer, then you're probably going to be in a job already. You're not going to be massively.
Yeah, no, it definitely has been a different environment, especially over the past year. I know there's been a lot of tech companies laying off and such. So, you know, you would get some of the people that are the top performers that may end up being cut from the company just because the company is cutting. You know, they might be cutting entire departments just based on, you know, what they think is going to be happening in the next year or so.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Plus, some people don't look that good on paper. Like, again, like, some people, a lot of people I hired, that was like their first job. Like, a lot of people I hire haven't even graduated from college yet. And this isn't like PPC specific. This is just like, you know, for my entire company. Like, again, for graphics, for other like departments like that, I've hired people who haven't even graduated from college, right? Like, intern level people, and I gave them like full time jobs. And a lot of them have like gone on to actually kill it for me. So a lot of people might not look good on paper, and they end up being killers. And, you know, someone else could have been like employed at the super big agency you're competing with, or the super big seller or aggregator, whatever else you're competing with. They could have been employed there for like 5 years, and they could have been like a team leader. And then you reach out, you interview them, you convince them to come on, and you sign them up, and they join, and they're just shit, and you have to fire them, right? So there's no like set rule, like, you know, just because someone is a killer doesn't mean they're going to be like a team lead at like, you know, the biggest agency in your space. Because you could be a team lead at that agency and not be a killer. And the opposite could be true. There's like this, it's not a quote, it's like this story. Do you know Peter Thiel, the PayPal guy? Yeah. So essentially he was speaking to one of the people he hired at PayPal early on, and they were jogging around like the Stanford campus. And he's like, your number one job as a founder. And this doesn't really apply as much to PPC, but it's like a general like maxim or general idea used for hiring. It's like your number one job as a founder is to try and find like undiscovered talent. Because if someone's like a known killer, like if someone is a like mega influencer for like PPC, everyone knows them, they have a ton of clients, you know, they're popping off on like YouTube and LinkedIn, like that person probably is not going to join you. Right, because that person already has a lot of data about them. Like, everyone knows that they're good. Whereas the person who's like kind of the underdog, people don't know about them yet. No one has heard about them. They are very hardworking, but they don't have the years of experience yet. They're very smart. They're very like fast learning. But again, they've only been doing it for a year or something. That's someone you want to bet on, because this is like underappreciated talent. For that first guy, they could get hired by someone. It's probably not going to be you, because they're going to be paying a ridiculous amount of money for them, right? Unless obviously you're like, that there might be like some huge fans watching this, but generally most people aren't going to be trying to pay someone like $300,000-$400,000 a year in compensation, right? Most of the advice I'm going to give is just for like average compensation, like PPC specialists, both in the US and like offshore. So unless you're in a position where you have a big enough brand and a big enough company and enough like cash in the bank to like shell out $300,000-$400,000 for like the superstar that you want to hire, you're going to have to go after underappreciated talent with less data points, and you're just going to have to bet on these people. It's like going to the, what's it called? I'm not really a sports fan, but you know when they have like these people who go to like college teams and like high school teams, mm-hmm. and they draft like different people, and essentially you're trying to pick who's going to become the next Michael Jordan before they become Michael Jordan. I don't want to like be over dramatic with it, because we're just like speaking a general hiring of PPC specialists. But the best hire is like when you predict who the next Michael Jordan will be before they become that person, because it's going to cost you a lot less. Plus, you're going to be able to kind of mold them and teach them like your way of doing things as well. So you can kind of have them turn out exactly as you want them to, and it could cost less than hiring Michael Jordan outright.
That makes sense. I was just about to ask you about why you prefer to find candidates that may be a little bit greener, newer, and what you really see is the main differences between them and somebody that's been doing it for a while. Is it willingness to work or the malleability of, you know, you're able to, I guess, teach them really what working in that space is like, or like what are the things that you really like about hiring these people that are younger, they're newer to the space, they haven't been doing this for a really long time?
Right. Yeah. So generally, most of them have like a year or two of experience on them. Mm-hmm. There are two ways to answer this. They're both like honest. One way is just like, I'm a young guy, so I'm generally going to go for the other young guy just because that's what I know and what I've gotten good at hiring from. I'm probably not going to go for like the 35 or the 40-year-old guy. That's one reason. And that's just like me being honest. The second reason is that once someone is older, they have much more data points about them, right? So you have to gauge them on what they've achieved. So if I'm hiring for a regular PPC specialist position and someone's 35 years old and they're still applying for like the entry-level PPC specialist position, then that tells you like in the last 14 years since they graduated from college, not much has gone on in their lives. Because if they were a kidder, they'd be up there right now. Right? They'd be doing big stuff. 14 years, that's like a decade and a half. Mm-hmm. If you're not doing big stuff 14 years in, I'm not going to bet on you to start doing big stuff when you were 14.
That makes sense. So that's,
there's more data points. So if I was hiring like a VP of marketplaces or like a VP of Amazon advertising, I'd go for someone who's a bit older, right? But at that point, I'd have all the data points out them that they that I need, right? That you're 35 years old, you've been working for 14 years. What have you achieved in these 14 years, right? If you've achieved enough and you're in a position where you want to be VP of sales, that's like a good level. Like I believe someone who's 35 years old could be a killer if they're applying for a VP of sales position, right? But if someone's 35 or 40 years old, applying for like a regular, entry level, just like an individual contributor, Amazon PPC specialist position, you have to start looking at the last decade and a half and like asking yourself like, why has this person not gotten to a point in this decade and a half where they're like a director of marketplaces, or they're like a founder of some agency, or they're doing this or that, or like they're a consultant? You get what I mean? So if you're that old and you're still applying to this type of job, then again, you just have to question what's going on.
Yeah, that like a big thing I look at, which, I might have to stop looking at the resume so much when I'm hiring based on this conversation. But I look for jumps, not just jumps between jobs. Like I get that, some people move jobs multiple times within a few years, but jumps between different types of jobs. And I'm not talking about just like a high school, college kid that, they worked at. Maybe they worked at a fast food place and they worked at a restaurant or something like that. I'm talking about, say, for example, an engineer, like a software engineer, and then they switch to copywriting and then they switch to doing sales. And, they just keep moving to different places. They never spend enough time in that one place to become that expert. That's something I pay attention to when I'm looking at candidates to hire.
Yeah, I think everyone has like a certain like type of candidate that they've gotten very good at hiring. I personally wouldn't hire that just because I don't, like, that's not the type that I'm used to hiring. And obviously you want diversity of thought and experience and everything. But for me, I'm not good at hiring that specific type of person because for me, I want like extreme conviction. Like, I really want to do digital marketing. I'm really into e-commerce. Like one of the last guys I hired started selling online at like 12 years old and they started like selling on Amazon at 14 years old. I just want like, extreme conviction. And they've been doing it for almost a decade right now because they're early 20s. So it's like, hey, I love this thing. I'm going to go super in depth on this thing. And I have crazy results to show that I've been good at it, right? Because someone could have been like jumping around between positions. Like it could have been an engineer that I could go into sales, that I could do like copywriting, then web design. You'd have to figure out what happened in between. Like when they were an engineer, were they a good engineer? Were they an amazing engineer? When they were in sales, what was their performance like? So for me, I'm more looking at like examples of or proof of like extreme like performance or like intense ability more than just jumping, because you could jump around across like five things and be shit at all of them.
Yeah,
right? Exactly. I bet at that one person. And you don't have to do only one thing. Like doing two or three things isn't like a bad thing, right? Yeah. But I want to know that you have a history of killing it, right? There's this story I read a lot. It's like they're sitting in like this meeting with Charlie Munger, and Charlie just like buys companies outright. He just puts the CEO to operate it, and those companies usually end up going, and he profits off of it and that investment. So one of the people was asking him for advice, and he's like, Charlie, how do you do it every time? How do you know which CEO to hire? He's like, I just hire people who have killed it before. Right? Like if someone else was joining another company and they grew it 10x, and they hired the killer team, and they were able to like increase profit margins or like net profit or whatever else it is, that's someone I want to bet on being able to do it twice, right? So I'm just looking for a history of killing it at any scale. Like, you don't have to hit it in Amazon PPC for me to hire you as an Amazon PPC specialist. Like, there's this candidate that I was interested in hiring, and he told me that he came from like a poorer background. Like, his family was lower income, and he managed to get into the top university in his country on a full scholarship, an in-depth university. He was able to set up an online bookstore and reach 50% market share on book sales on campus by setting up like an affiliate marketing scheme between the students. That's very interesting to me. Like, this guy is thinking outside the box. He overcame circumstances. He did more than what was expected of him. And he has like a entrepreneurial like spirit or energy to it. So that's someone I want to bet on becoming the next like Michael Jordan, right?
Yeah.
As someone who just jumped around between jobs, I'm not like entirely sure, like that doesn't like on its own tell me that they're a killer. They could be a killer. I'd have to dig in and see what they actually did during each one of those jobs to prove that they have like a history of success.
No, that's a really good point. I was thinking of it not having the time to actually dedicate enough to be a killer, but I guess you're definitely right there, where you could in fact be a killer at sales, you could be a killer at copywriting, and you could be a killer programmer, but you really have to dig in and figure that out. That's awesome. So how do you determine what to pay somebody that you're hiring as a PPC specialist? Because it sounds like you're hiring in a lot of different places. So I'd imagine that the salaries are going to vary greatly, but what do you rely on to actually figure that out?
Yeah, so I'm usually concentrated around the Asia region. So I know what to pay in Asia. In Asia, if you want a good specialist, you pay like 1 to 2K per month. Mm-hmm. That applies to like Philippines, India, and Pakistan. Mm-hmm. Anything above that, I think you're overpaying. Anything below that, then the person you're hiring either isn't that good, doesn't have other options, or is like, you know, you're not going for someone that's that great. So that's what I pay for Asia. Outside Asia, it gets more complicated. I usually try to just like focus on Asia because that's what I believe the best CPC specialists are, not because they have the magic sauce, but just because, like, just look at the numbers on LinkedIn. There are like tens of thousands of Amazon PPC specialists in Asia, and there's like maybe a fraction of that in the US, Europe, and Canada. So just statistically speaking, the best PPC specialists in the world have to be in Asia, right? Because if you have, I'm just throwing numbers out there, if you have 200,000 PPC specialists in Asia, or just like Amazon people, like Amazon FBA specialists in Asia, you have like $5,000 in the US, even if the Asia ones were worse on average, which I don't believe to be true, but a lot of people assume that, even if they were worse on average, you have like 40 times as many people in Asia as you do in the US. So the best people in the world have to be from Asia, right? So that's why I only hire from Asia currently. I hire people for other positions from like Canada. I've hired from the Middle East, where I'm originally from. I hire from Africa. I hire from Europe. So I've gone all over the world. But generally, I focus on Asia right now. And if I don't know how much I'm supposed to pay, I just let the candidate speak first. So like, how much are you currently getting at your job? Usually, they're going to give you a number that's higher than what they're actually getting.
Yeah.
Figure out how much they're currently making. Figure out, like, you can speak to a bunch of people, because once you interview 20 people in the same geography for the same position, you'll figure out like roughly what you're supposed to pay. So ask them what they're currently getting, ask them what they're expecting, throw a number out there, try to negotiate, see what they take. But for Asia, 1,000 to 2,000 is a good like, starting point.
No, that makes sense. You're going where the people are, like where the broad, like if you have more people, it's just like you were talking about when you're doing the inbound versus outbound. Like if you have more people that are going to be more qualified people, the likelihood of finding somebody that's actually good is a lot higher because you have more choices and you know what to choose from instead of having, you know, that couple candidates you were talking about in the United States. It's just a smaller sample size and you can't figure out who is truly going to be your killer and who's not.
Exactly. And the other thing is the US is just like way too expensive right now for hiring.
Yeah.
You're going to pay like 3, 4, 5 times what you pay in Asia for mm-hmm. someone in the US. Maybe even more. You could pay 5, 6, 7 times even what you pay in HR. They're not doing like work that's any better, like in my honest
yeah.
opinion. Like the work from someone in the US isn't any better than the work from someone in Pakistan. So I just don't like hire from the US that much anymore. You get better margins if you're like an agency or a software company, if you mm-hmm. hire from abroad. If you're a seller, you save like, you know, 75% of the cost by hiring from abroad. So just put more effort into sourcing and identifying the right people from Asia rather than going through the US candidates, just because there are too few US candidates to actually find someone good. Obviously, some people in the US are good, or a lot of people in the US are good, but you're going to have to put a lot more effort into getting candidates. So for the 20 messages that I receive every time I post about like a job, like one or two of them are from the US. So it's a lot easier to get Asia candidates. They're like more economical in terms of like wages, and you get, you know, the same work or even better work done, because usually people from abroad are harder working. Some people won't like this, but usually they are harder working.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And if anybody wanted to get in touch with you or find out more about AI Hello, how could they do that?
Yeah, so I'm everywhere. I'm on YouTube. This is more for like watching my stuff, though, not getting in touch with me. So you can find some of my PPC strategies and even like a full hiring guide, step by step, with like the actual questions, the tests that I send, everything else on YouTube. I also post on LinkedIn. You can engage with my stuff and reach out. I usually get back to most people within an hour on LinkedIn. You can also hit me up on my email. My address is saif@aihello.com. That's another option. And finally, you can just go to my website and book a demo call if you guys are interested in signing up. We offer both software plus the, like I call it hybrid, because you mix software and human like managed services. And you can actually just like rent out one of my PPC specialists. So you don't have to do any of the recruiting yourself. Just go to my website and book a call. It's either going to be me or someone else taking the call, and I'll just run you through how it actually works, and you can get one of the PPC specialists that I've hired.
Yeah, and you guys were running a special offer for everybody for the hybrid package, right? If they were to sign up on their first month?
Yeah, so for the first month, I could do 20% off any hybrid package.
Awesome. Well, Saif, it has been fantastic. I could talk to you all day, but we're going to wrap it up here. It's been great. I loved having you on here. It's nice to talk to somebody else, though, that does a lot of hiring, and especially somebody like yourself that has really built systems around it and figured out not only how to hire people well, but also treating hiring like finding customers. Like you're actually going out there, you're advertising yourself, you're reaching out to people. I mean, it's the same way we find clients. We post content, we do advertisements, we do things like podcasts, for example. And then, you know, we have clients come from that because they see us, then we have a CTA and they want to reach out to us and so on. So it's really nice to see somebody that's built like a whole system around that, just like we would build a client acquisition funnel.
Yeah. I mean, if you have bad like employees as an agency or as a seller, or, you know, as a software company, you're not going to get good clients, because word is going to get out that you guys have like bad service, you guys have bad results. People aren't going to speak good about you. So your pipeline is going to go down and you're not going to get any of the word of mouth coming in. Like, I'd rather spend all of my time. It doesn't have to be this way. It's not like either or. But if I had to choose between spending all of my time hiring and spending all of my time selling, I'll just spend my time hiring. Because whenever I hire good people and we do really, really good work for our clients, they end up referring more people to us. So it's its own customer acquisition like funnel.
Yeah, that's an awesome way of looking at it. It makes sense, though.
Every single good hire I've made has brought in at least, like my latest hire, I think, has brought in 6 clients with them so far.
And it's amazing.
Like month 3 or 4. monthly or four for them, six clients in. Every single good hire I've made has brought in at least like two or three clients with them. It's just so fun. So if you spend your time hiring, everything else will also increase.
That's awesome. All right. Well, it's been great having you on here, and we're going to sign off, everyone.
Thank you.